Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your Word. And Father, most of all today, we thank You for sending Jesus, who died on the cross that we could have salvation from our sins. And we give You praise and we give You glory for all that You've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, there are some things happening in the world today that are very disturbing. And I really, doesn't matter what country you live in, there's something going on that just isn't right. It's disturbing. It affects your daily life, especially if you're a child of God and you're trying to live for Jesus Christ and trying to do the things that the Bible tells you to do. And we have those that are going around that are spreading teachings, and we've seen it throughout the centuries, but it seems like in the last few years we've had an abundance of false teaching come out. And we haven't often addressed that on this program, but today I just feel led that we need to talk about this today. We want to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. And this is Jesus speaking here, and this particular verse we want to draw attention to. It says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Now, just prior to this, in the other part of the chapter, Jesus with the disciples, and they were up looking at the temple, and the disciples have asked Jesus to tell them what's the signs of the end of the world, as it says in the King James. Most of the translations put it the end of the age. The original Greek word means the same. And so there are those that are using certain scriptures by taking them out of context, teaching false doctrine. Now, you can teach false doctrine out of the Bible by taking scriptures out of context. And we see it done on a regular basis. And there are two particular teachings out there. And quite honestly, they've been around for years and years and years. And I've never really run into anybody teaching that in my entire life, but I know it's out there, and just recently I've heard of it springing up again in another area of the world where this false doctrine is being taught, and it's a very dangerous doctrine. Both of these, and I'm going to touch on the first one here just a moment here. It's amillennialism. Amillennialism. And in Christian eschatology, this involves the rejection of the belief that Jesus will have a literal thousand-year-long physical reign on earth. And this rejection contrasts with the premillennial and some postmillennial interpretations of chapter 20 of the book of Revelations. In other words, that particular teaching is there is not going to be a thousand-year-long reign of Jesus Christ. Well, if the Bible says it's going to be, then, my friend, it's going to be. You either accept the whole Bible or just throw it out then, because if you can't accept the whole Bible, then there's something wrong there. And so that teaching is out there. And another one that I'm particularly disturbed by is one called preterism. And it's a view that interprets that all, or at least most of the prophecies of the Bible events have already happened. And it comes from the Latin word praeter, which means, according to Webster's 1913 dictionary, it's a prefix for denoting that something is past or beyond. So what this group is doing that are known as preterists, they're teaching or rejecting portions of the scripture based on their doctrine of one verse. And that one verse is, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled." And so they're saying anything that happened after the generation that was alive at the time of Jesus basically going to AD 70, and anything that happened after that, it's all fulfilled now. The rest of the Bible, if there's anything else in there, throw out the book of Revelations. Throw out some of the teachings of what the apostles wrote, because it's all done. It's all over with. Well, first of all, my friend, if you're accepting that doctrine, really, I feel sorry for you, because you have no hope. You have no hope. And I want to ask you, is this the best that God has to offer? I don't think so. God told me a lot of things in His Word, and Jesus told us a lot of things, and you're discarding this. First of all, if you believe this doctrine and accept this, and I want to point out, there's one nation of the world right now that this doctrine is being spread. And I hope this message is getting to those folks today. I know I've already sent them some information, but I hope this is getting to you. This teaching rejects entire portions of the Scripture. You have to discard what the Bible says about a lot of other things. You have to discard what the Bible says about Jesus coming back at the end of the tribulation period. Well, of course, they're trying to say that the tribulation was AD 70. But hold it a second. The book of Revelations and the things about the tribulation wasn't written until much later, probably around AD 90, somewhere in there that it was written. So that's after the temple had been torn down, and this particular teaching is saying the tribulation period was. As for millennial reign, well, you got to reject that, because the Bible talks about a millennial reign where Jesus will come and He will reign and rule on earth, and we will rule and reign with Him. That hasn't happened, folks. It didn't happen. And if it did happen, then how come we don't know about it? How come there's no record of it? Well, they've got no answer for that. So basically, if you accept that doctrine, the doctrine of preterism, then you've got to throw out the entire book of Revelations. You've got to throw out portions of other books that are in the Bible, because they were written, in some cases, after AD 70. After all of this is supposed to have been fulfilled. Israel, for example, was not restored to a nation until about 70 years ago. But first of all, I want to back up and tell you one other thing here. With the first one, you have to, as I said, with amillennialism, you have to discard what the Bible says about Jesus coming back at the end of the tribulation, the millennial reign. That's all past. With preterism, it teaches that all the events have already taken place, all the conflicts with many of the other prophecies and scriptures that it's telling you has already taken place, could not have possibly been fulfilled until the last 20 to 30 years. There are things in God's Word, prophecies that were made that were absolutely impossible to be fulfilled until in the last 20, 30 years, something of that time frame. And I could be off by a few years there, but not off by 1,800 years or 1,900 years. For example, as I said, Israel wasn't restored as a nation until 70 years ago. Jerusalem was not restored until 50 years ago to the state of Israel. And we've not had the means to spread the gospel to the whole world until the last roughly 40 years. I want you to think about that. The Bible tells us that the gospel was going to be spread to the entire world. Well, admittedly, within the first 100 years, a lot of it was spread to what they knew about the world, but it was not spread to the entire world. There were lots of people, thousands of people, millions of people that were living in other parts of the planet that never heard about the gospel until centuries later. So that throws that out. Well, the book of Revelation says this in chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindred of the earth shall wait because of Him, even so. Amen. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. Now let's face it, the Bible tells us when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation period, He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is going to cleave in two, or split in two, probably caused by an earthquake of great magnitude. And they already are scientifically aware that there is an earthquake fault under the Mount of Olives. So we know that at some point that's going to happen. And when Jesus comes back is when the scripture tells us it will happen. But if you're not standing there at the Mount of Olives, how are you going to see him? Well, of course, the way we can talk about it today, we can say by television or by the internet. Because right now, by television and by internet, which we have, you can see something transpiring in one part of the globe instantaneously on the other side of the globe. And that was not possible until the last 30 plus years, when satellite technology became available and we could put satellites in orbit around the world and beam the signal up to them, and that in turn be beamed back down to satellite dishes on the planet and around the world. At the same time, we could see the same event happening. So Matthew 24:34 is being taken completely out of context. What you really have to read is you have to read the verses that are preceding it and the verses that follow it. So let's read some of them here. Verses 24, we're going to just start with verse 3 here, because the first is just the discussion they were having. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world?" Now the King James Version says the end of the world, aion, which can be translated age, and most correctly is should be translated the end of the age. The end of the age that we're living in, because the Bible plainly tells that this world is not going to be completely destroyed. Now there will be a new heaven and a new earth, but that is not coming for a long time yet, folks. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now I want you to think about that here. Many shall come saying, "I am Christ." There were people who came before Jesus that were saying they were the Messiah. And they weren't necessarily calling themselves Christ, but they were calling themselves the Messiah. Since the time of Jesus, we've had those that have come up and said, "Well, I'm Jesus." And we've had some right in our own lifetimes here that have come and told people that they were Jesus. David Koresh at Waco in the state of Texas a few years back told people that he was Jesus. Jim Jones kind of tried to, lure people into believing that he was the Messiah. And I remember in my lifetime people such as Father Divine who claimed that he was God. There were others who claimed that they were Jesus. And they've come and gone. They were false Christs. And they deceived many. We just had some programming on television recently about Jonestown and how the deceptions that took place there. Many followed him thinking that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, but it led them all to their death. They were deceived. And that's just one example. Verse 6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now we've had wars throughout recorded history. That's true. And we have rumors of wars. But we have had nothing like we have had in the last 100 years. Approximately 100 years ago, we were fighting what was known as the Great War here in America. It was called that because it was World War I. It was the first time that the nations of the world were pulled into this global conflict. And they were fighting this battle, hopefully, to end all wars and have no more. And that was called the War to End All Wars. Well, unfortunately, that was not the case. Because approximately 20 years after the end of that, another war was already in progress. World War II, which again pulled the nations of the world into that great battle with millions of people being killed, with the annihilation and extinction of over 6 million Jewish people simply because they were Jewish. No other reason. And yet we have other wars and conflicts that have occurred since then. We've had the Vietnam War. We've had local wars within various countries, within various parts of the world. And I don't even know the names of all the wars that have taken place in even just the last 30 years. But they've happened. And there's rumors of wars right now as I bring this message today. There are people talking, is war coming? Is war about to happen? And we don't know. We don't know what is about to happen. The Bible does tell us that there's a couple of great battles that are yet to take place. But they will be the final battles when they take place. Folks, if you believe it all ended with AD 70, then you are sorely led astray. Because it only started to begin there. Oh, I tell you, things have happened. Goes on in verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And I want to stop there for just a moment because we talk about earthquakes. We're finding there's earthquakes today in places we never thought would have earthquakes. The United States has a fault line along the west coast called the San Andreas Fault. And I used to live in that area. And I'll tell you, an earthquake to me is a scary thing. When all of a sudden, without warning, the ground begins to shake, the building you're in begins to shake, possibly the walls begin to crumble. And I've been in times when people were killed because of the earthquakes that we were around. These happen not only in America, they happen in Mexico, they happen in Europe, they happen in all parts of the world. And we're having more and more. Famines. There's famines going on in parts of the world right now. There's pestilence going on in parts of the world. There's volcanic eruptions. Now, it doesn't say anything about volcanoes there, but volcanoes can cause earthquakes, by the way. And they're talking here about one in America, about the Yellowstone supervolcano, which they fear may erupt. And if it should erupt, it could possibly destroy a good portion, at least 25% of the United States, should it erupt. In verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Hold it a minute. You preterists just said it all ended with AD 70. It's all over with. Well, a lot of this stuff is still happening here. How come it's still happening? Verse 9, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Well, we've seen that happen. We saw in the 30s, the 40s, how in Europe, the nation of Germany, that Hitler had such hatred for the Jews that he killed over 6 million of them. And he would have killed more had he been allowed to go on. And there are people today who still hate the Jews. There are people today that hate the Christians. There are people today that hate you simply because you say, I am a child of God, I'm a Christian. There are people that will kill you just simply for making that statement. But if it all ended in AD 70, why are we still having this take place? Verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive men. And boy, do we see that. The false prophets are running rampant out there. There are those who are false prophets who are preaching supposedly in the name of Christ, but they are spreading false doctrine, and they are deceiving many. There are doctrines out there that tell you that you can live any way you want to and go to heaven, and that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you have to be a child of God, that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm sorry, you're not going to heaven. So iniquity is out there. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And boy, we see that today too. Love has waxed cold. Iniquity abounds. There is evil throughout the world. Here in the United States, we've got a problem going on with shootings at schools. And of course, there's a group that's raised up and said, let's ban all guns. Well, banning all guns will not stop the problem because the bad guys will still get what they want. You can kill with other means. Right now in Texas, there's somebody killing people with bombs that are being set up because iniquity is abounding and love has waxed cold and hatred is spread over the face of the earth. It's taking place, folks. Verse 13, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Well, folks, Jesus told them they had to endure to the end, and we're still enduring. How come it wasn't all over with in AD 70, if that's what you believe? In verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end comes. Or come. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the ability to spread the gospel all over the world has not been possible to last 40, possibly 50 years, where we begin to get radio, which has lasted a little bit longer than that. We could spread the gospel with radio, and then we got television, and then we got satellite broadcasting. With satellite broadcasting, we had the ability to spread the gospel to any part of the globe. I have sitting in my office models of satellites that are of the type that are used to beam back information to Earth and to carry television programming and carry radio programming and many other types of ways of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my fortunate place to be able to work at a job where I had access to some of that information and could see the things being built and could talk to the people who were building them and find out what they were doing and be witness to the construction of some of these particular satellites and seeing what they could do. And without those, we couldn't spread the gospel the way we have the ability to spread it today. Without those, we wouldn't have the internet the way we have it today. I want you to think about that. It took the internet to really be able to spread things the way it's done today. And it has to have satellites to do that as well. Oh yes, you can do it with cable. You can do it with wiring. You can do it with some other means. But it's very hit and miss, and you can't get the whole globe. Well, it only became possible for these things to transpire in the last 40 plus years. Verse 15 says, and when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Now I know they're saying the Romans destroying the temple was that abomination. But the book of Revelation tells us when the Antichrist shall stand in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation period, that's what's being referred to here in verse 15 as we read it in Revelation. And it says, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is left in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither off the seventh day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Well, it seems to me like this is talking about something different than happened in AD 70. Yes, it was a destructive time, and they had to flee and all of this, but this is not what Jesus was referring to, the events that happened. And he's referring to events that are yet still to come, and they haven't transpired yet. And he said, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And the Greek word I want to point out here, the Greek word that is translated before can also be translated in advance. And some other translations other than the King James have the word advance. I've told you in advance. I've told you ahead of time. Wherefore, if they shall send you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in a secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now stop a minute there. They're saying this all happened in AD 70. I think not. There's no record of it happening. Did they erase the record? It didn't happen then. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Well, that hasn't happened. But it was supposed to have ended in AD 70. It hasn't happened, though. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know it is near, even at the door. Then verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now the word generation can also be translated age. And goes on in verse 35, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And it goes on, if you read the rest of the chapter there, it's some other things about it's going, as it is in the days of Noah, so it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. And I'll tell you, we're living in the days of Noah right now. And it's talking about, in the rest of the chapter, what will happen when Jesus comes for the church, or the rapture of the church, as we refer to it. And those events that are going to be happening, they didn't happen in AD 70, folks. So if you're believing that, if you're believing it all was completed in AD 70, you're believing the wrong thing, because it's still yet to come. Well, Jesus spoke a lot of things in these verses that have not and were not fulfilled until after 1948. And then many things that are spoken about here began to be fulfilled on a rapid pace. I also want you to stop and think for just a moment. Is the world we now live in the best that God has to offer? Think about that. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Well, if it all ended in AD 70, what happened? I want you to think about that. God works on a prophetic time clock. And that clock stops and starts, just kind of like a stopwatch does sometimes, as things are related to the nation of Israel. For example, during the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, there were no prophetic fulfillments. The captivity was a fulfillment in itself, but nothing new occurred. 70 years later, when the Jews begin to go back into Israel, the prophetic events again begin to be fulfilled, especially with the fulfillment of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that happened. And then we approach AD 70. Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple and the dispersal, which occurred in AD 70. Israel as a nation ceased to exist, and the clock stopped, just like it did during the captivity. Then, in 1948, Israel was restored as a nation born in a day. And it's my belief that the belief of most of those who hold to the entire Bible is being inspired by the Word of God, as the Word of God, the generation that Jesus referred to in Matthew 24 is the generation that was alive in 1948. And the time clock started ticking again on a generation, and Jesus is going to come soon. We are living now in the generation in which Jesus will return. I believe that with all my heart. There's nothing in the Word of God that would lead me to believe otherwise. I believe and teach the premillennial view that the rapture of the church will take place before the 7-year tribulation, which is spoken of in the book of Revelations. Others teach it will happen in the middle of the 7 years, and some teach it will happen at the end of the 7 years, just before Jesus returns to set up the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 19. But I think the gospel points out it's going to happen before that tribulation is spoken of is going to happen. We are seeing prophecy that was prophesied even back in the Old Testament that is now being fulfilled in our day that was not fulfilled between AD 70 and 1948. But after 1948, prophetic fulfillments begin to take place on a regular basis. New things happening all the time. Jesus said in John chapter 14, and I know I quoted this to you a little bit earlier, verses 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also." We are living now in a fulfillment of what Jesus said. We are living now in the area that Jesus was talking about. And if you think that the world today as it is was fulfilled, Jesus fulfilled everything in AD 70, then I have got to tell you, we got shortchanged somewhere along the line, because right now is taking place those very things that Jesus spoke about almost 2,000 years ago. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." I want you to think about that. We're seeing that today. In latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want you to look again, Matthew 24, 34. Matthew 24, 34, where it says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And I believe now this is the generation that Jesus was talking about. Anyone teaching that it all ended in AD 70, a preteristic viewpoint, is a false teacher. I declare to you they're a false teacher, and you need to beware of them, because they will lead people to hell instead of heaven. I want you to think about that. They are going to lead people to hell instead of heaven. And if you find these teachers coming at you, I feel led of the Holy Spirit to tell you, when they try to teach you this doctrine, to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself, your household, your church, and other churches in the area that they might be trying to spread this abominable doctrine to. Because it didn't end in AD 70, folks. This is not what God promised us right now. He promised us great things that are yet to come, but I am here to tell you they are coming soon. And only those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that are living for God, that are washed in the blood, that are ready to go, are going to go when He comes. There is no record in AD 70 of some of the events that the apostles taught after that time, because it didn't end then, folks. But it's about to end. That generation is now alive that Jesus was speaking about. And Jesus is coming soon. And when He comes, the world is going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He came, because of the events that have taken place and because of the people that have disappeared. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right now I ask you, I invite you to invite Him into your heart. And all you've got to do is say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Cleanse my sin with the blood that was shed on the cross. and help me to live for you all the days of my life. And if you invite him into your heart like that, he'll do it. And when he comes, you'll be ready to go. You'll be ready to go to those places and participate in those things that he has promised to you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.